Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Question. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do if you knew you could not fail? I could ask that question in another way. What do you wish was true about your life that currently isn't? And here's the follow-up question, and this is kind of the sucker punch question. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? What is it that's holding you back? We've been doing this series called Summer by the Lake, and today we're going to look at this story where we're going to see that kind of a situation. And I think a lot of us, when we answer that question, what's holding us back, we would say, well, we just don't have enough money, or we don't have enough time. And while those issues may be issues, I think there's a bigger reason why we don't do what we know we need to do. And we're going to see that in this story. In this series, Summer by the Lake, what we've been doing is looking at encounters that Jesus had with people, with his followers, his disciples around a lake, the Sea of Galilee. And what we're doing is we're trying to look at these stories to find out what should a relationship look like with Jesus look like for us today. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, that's totally fine. We put all the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, we give out easy-read translations of the Bible back at the Velcro bar for free. We'd love to give you one today. So in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to see the story that if you've been coming for a while, we've looked at before, but we're going to kind of take a different look at it and learn some different things from it. So we start in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. That's my Scooby-Doo voice. They said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, when it comes to our lives and the things that we wish were true, that we want to do, I think we all probably want to make a difference with our lives. I bet there are people here today who wish they could be a better father, a mother, a better spouse, maybe a better friend. Maybe there's a few of us who want to start a new career. Maybe some of us wish that we were closer to God than we are now. But whatever it is that you want to do or that you want to become, too often we're not taking any steps in that direction. And yeah, maybe not having enough time or not having enough money or not knowing exactly how to do it is leading us to hesitate. But I think for most of us, there's a bigger reason we don't do what we want to do. And that reason is fear. It's fear. Fear that if I actually try to do this thing, it's just going to be too hard. Fear that if I do it, everything else in my life is going to fall apart. Fear that if I go for it, what will other people say about me or what will they think? Fear that if I try it, it's never going to really happen and I've wasted my time and my dream will die. You know, we all deal with fear. In this story we looked at, there were 12 guys in the boat, but only one who walked on water to Jesus. And the difference between the 11 who sat in the boat and the one who walked on water was not who was afraid. Because trust me, they were all afraid. The difference between the one water walker and the 11 water walker wannabes was faith. Right? One of them, Peter, had the faith to overcome his fear and do this thing that he wanted to do. And one of the biggest obstacles for most people when it comes to doing what they want to do or doing what they feel like God is leading them to do is fear. Now, if you were here last week, Jeff talked about how fear can be a problem for us when life goes really bad. But here's the deal. Fear can also stop us from doing something really good. Fear is probably the number one reason people don't do what they want to do or feel like God is calling them to do, because we have these thoughts. You know, what if I can't really trust God to help me? What if other people laugh at me or they think I'm dumb? And so the question that we have to answer in our lives is, how do we overcome our fears? How do we overcome our fears so that we can move past them and in faith do the thing that we need to do? And so I want to walk through this story of Peter and see what exactly did he do to overcome his fears. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but where his water walking started was when he said out loud what he wanted to do. And for us, the first thing we need to do is say out loud what we want to do. Saying it out loud is often the beginning point of overcoming fear and having the faith to do what we want to do. So let me ask you, when it comes to this thing that you want to do or the person you want to become, have you said it out loud yet? Have you said it out loud? Have you told anyone? Because that's what Peter did, and that's where we see his faith starting. He said out loud what he wanted to do. And can I encourage you to do the same, to say it out loud? Maybe to your microgroup, if you're in one of our microgroups, or maybe to a friend or to your spouse, and certainly I would encourage you to say it to God. And when you say it, don't put any disclaimers on it. Don't say, I know this is crazy, and I know I could never do this, but no, just say it. The first step of finding faith or of growing and increasing your faith or of growing in your relationship with Jesus, of going on a real adventure with God, of doing what you fear might be impossible, is saying it out loud. When you say it out loud, especially when you say it to another person, okay, not in your shower, and you're like, okay, I'm going to... No, like to another person, man, your faith will start to grow, because when you hear it said and you see that person's reaction, you're going to start to think, maybe it's not as impossible as I've made it out to be. And now you've got another person who can encourage you and support you and hold you accountable. And what you find is when you say it out loud, faith starts to grow. So, what do you need to say out loud to someone? Maybe for you it's, I really want to start a business that I feel like it would help a lot of people. I want to touch the lives of other people by serving in a way that I never have before. I want to be the best husband I know. I want my kids to grow up feeling like they got the best parent they possibly could have gotten. I want to know God better. What do you need to say out loud? Maybe it's, I want to sing on The Tonight Show. Did anyone watch? I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday night on The Tonight Show. They had a girl on and she sang. Her name was Alicia Cara. Here's the story. Jimmy Fallon, the host of The Tonight Show, was listening to some kind of online music streaming deal, and he was like kind of going from song to song, and he came across a song by a singer named Alicia Cara, and he loved it. And so he calls his producer and says, hey, let's get this girl on the show. Producer does some research, calls Jimmy Fallon back and says, she's a nobody. Like she didn't even have an album. She put out her own song, and somehow you came across it, but she's like 17, 18 years old, and like she's a nobody. She's not famous. We won't have her on the show. Jimmy Fallon says, let's make her famous. I've got a show. I can do that. Like, let's put her on the show. So they call this girl, and they have her come. She didn't even have an album out. They have her come and sing on the show. Here's the cool thing. 2 years ago, she was on a tour, just a public tour that you and I could go on, of the Tonight Show studio. And what they do on this tour is they have you walk across the stage and everyone gets to stop for a moment where Jimmy Fallon does his monologue so you can see this is where he stands. And she stood there and she turned to her parents and said, I am going to sing here one day. And 2 years later, she's standing on the stage singing in front of the world. What do you need to say out loud? the first step to walking on water, to doing that thing that you wish you could do, is saying it out loud. And you know what happens when you say it out loud? Check this out. You can hear God speak back to you. Like, that's what happens with Peter, right? Like, Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, I want to walk on water to you. And Jesus says, come on, do it. Like get the step in. Let's do this. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, I've never heard God speak in that kind of a way to me. And maybe the reason is because you've never said out loud to God that thing that you want to do that you could only do with his power. So God hasn't had any reason to say anything to you. Say it out loud, and your faith will grow. So Jesus says, come on. And Peter does the next thing that you have to do if you're going to get out of the boat, if you're gonna do that dream of yours. He takes a step. Can you imagine being in a boat looking at this water, body of water, and actually putting your foot down and realizing, push, you might go down, like that video we saw earlier? He takes a step. And when it comes to what you really want to do, you have to do something. You have to do something. You can't just sit there and wish things were different and dream about your future. You have to do something. I mean, there are so many Christians who will come to church every Sunday and they hear the sermon. And a lot of these Christians will even go home and read the Bible on a daily basis. And all that is great. It's really important. But they never really change. They never really experience the power of God, an adventure with God. And the reason is because information is not enough. Information alone does not transform a person. To be transformed, you need information, and then you have to take action on that information. Problem is, it's hard. Right? There's fear. And you feel like, well, I just don't have the power to do this. I want to do this, but I just don't have the power to do it. But here's the deal. God calls us to take a step, to get out of the boat, despite our fear, and he makes a promise to us. The promise that God makes in the Bible repeatedly is that he will give us the power, listen, when we do. Not, he will give us the power before we do. No, what God says is, I'll give you the power when you take the step. And we see this all throughout the Bible. So like back in the Old Testament, there's this time where the Israelites have to cross the Jordan River. Big problem, because the Jordan River is this massive, big ways river. And so like, there's no way we can get across this river. What are we going to do? And God tells them that he will get them through the river, but first, they have to take a step into it. Let me help you check this out. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 13, it says, and as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. In other words, you will experience God's power if and when you take that first step. See, these people, they may have known about God's power. They may have heard stories about God's power. But they had never experienced God's power for themselves. And now they had the chance. But God wasn't going to exert his power before they took a step of faith. That would have made it too easy on them. God says, if you take that step of faith, then I'll bring my power to bearing and I'll allow you to do what you need to do. And so the question became, are they willing to get their feet wet first? Are they willing to start walking into this river, doing what might seem ridiculous, trusting that once they do, God's going to part this river? We see it all throughout the Bible, that God grows people's faith by asking them to take the first step before he's done anything. And once you take that step, that's when God acts. So like, there's this guy in the Old Testament named Naaman. Naaman has a disease, and he goes in and he wants to be healed of his disease. And instead of just like God, you know, kind of snapping his fingers, what happens is God gives him this message: you need to go and wash your body in this river 7 times, and then you'll be healed. And so the question for Naaman is, will he do what God's asking him to do before he's healed, before he experiences God's power, right? There's another story where there's a guy named Gideon. Gideon is asked to lead the Israelite army into a battle. They have 32,000 fighting men. And God says, hey, before you go into this battle, I want you to narrow your numbers down to 300. And so he tells Gideon, I want you to be ridiculously outnumbered in this battle, and then you can go into it because I will come through for you, I will give you power, and you will win the battle with 300 men. And so the question is, will Gideon do this thing that seems ridiculous, believing that if and when he does, God will bring his power into his situation? I know people who believe in Jesus, and I think sincerely are trying to live their lives for him, but they would say, I've never really experienced God's power in my life. Why? Honestly, it's because they're boat people. They've decided to stay in the boat. They've chosen safety over growth. They've chosen comfort over adventure. Do you want to know whether you're a boat person or a water walker? Because there's one question to ask yourself, and it just helps you. In that moment, you go, oh, now I see. Here's the question. What am I currently doing that I could not do apart from the power of God? Is there anything that you're doing right now that you just think, if it wasn't for God, I just don't think I could do that? If you had asked Peter that question, he would have said, yeah, I'm walking on water. Like, if God doesn't come through for me, I'm going to sink in it, right? And so, is there any challenge in your life right now that's big enough that you have no real hope of accomplishing it unless God comes through for you? If not, consider the possibility that you are seriously under-challenged. That you have under-challenged yourself. If you want to walk on water, if you want to go out where Jesus is, you have to be willing to get your feet wet first. If I'm going to experience more of God's power in my life, if I'm going to enjoy the exhilaration of really following Jesus, it usually requires me to take a first step, an uncomfortable first step. It will begin by trusting God enough to take that step of obedience. And then I see God come through for me. So like when I take the risk of giving generously, like financially back to God, I discover that God will take care of me and I can trust him to do that. But I have to get my feet wet first. When I take the step of confessing my sin to another person and telling them about this temptation I'm struggling with, I learn the truth that with God, confession really is the path to healing, and that God honors truth-telling, but I have to get my feet wet first. When I decide to use my gifts to serve in the church, I get to know the joy of getting used by God for a bigger purpose, but I have to get my feet wet first. When I take the risk of joining a microgroup or approaching a friend of mine and asking them to hold me accountable in some area of my life, I discover that God will put me on a path of growth like I've never known. But I have to get my feet wet first. See, there's no shortage of power with God. There's just a shortage of people who are willing to get out of the boat. And if you're going to overcome your fear and walk on water, you have to take the first step. And that's exactly what Peter does. He starts out by saying out loud what he wants to do. And then Jesus is like, come on. And so then he takes this step out and he starts actually walking on water. But then all of a sudden it's like wind and waves. Like, it gets crazy out there. That's how I designate wind and waves. Wind and waves. I'm hoping that someday I'll get hired on the Weather Channel to be like a reporter, and they'll be like, Vince, how's it look in Miami? And I'll be like, there's wind and waves. I don't know. And so there is, right? There's wind and waves. And so he cries out, Lord, save me. Or we could also say he's like, I've fallen and I can't get up, right? Listen, part of overcoming fear and doing what you really want to do, what God wants you to do, is this, and we hate this, but it's true, you have to be willing to fail. You have to realize, I might fail, and I'm going to do this anyway. You have to be willing to fail. You're familiar with oxymorons, right? It's when you take two words and you put them together and they go together now, but you realize they shouldn't go together, like they contradict each other. So like a waiter says, would you like the jumbo shrimp? Right? Or somebody says to you, I'm going to go on a working vacation. Come on, right? This doesn't even make sense. Or at our business or at home, we use synthetic natural gas. What do you mean, right? Here's a new oxymoron for you, and it's true. Safe faith. There is no such thing as safe faith. See, a lot of people want to step out in faith. They want to do something big, but they also want to know that it's going to be safe. But there is just no such thing as safe faith. There's not. In fact, if it's safe, then I don't need faith. Right? If it's safe, there's no faith required. The truth is, faith is always risky. We need faith because it's risky. Faith does not protect us from failure. But if we let that stop us, if we're unwilling to take a risk because we're not sure how it's going to go, then what happens is we'll never experience the power of God working in our lives. Faith is not supposed to make us safe. It's supposed to make us dangerous. Water walkers, they know that what comes along with walking on water is sometimes you sink beneath the waves. But you just can't walk on water if you're not willing to fail. And so, listen, if what you want, like that dream that you thought before, maybe you never said out loud, is to start this new business or to start a new ministry that could change people's lives, expect wind and waves. They will come. And so people may be a lot less enthusiastic than you thought they were going to be when you tell them about it. Or if you want to repair a strained relationship, and so you're like, okay, I'm going to go for it. And you take that step of faith, you go to that person, expect wind and waves. That's what happens. Maybe they're going to be skeptical of your motives, or they're going to kind of give you pushback on restoring that relationship. Or if what you want is you want to serve and you really want to help others in a way that you never have before, expect wind and waves. People may not appreciate it like you thought they might. People may not even notice what you're doing, and you're like, doesn't anybody care? You know, Peter said what he wanted to do out loud, right? And then he took the first step, and he was on his way to hero status. He's the dude who walked on water. And it seemed like the hard part was behind him, right? He had the faith to get out of the boat. He put his foot down on water, and he didn't sink. Like, he's walking now, and it seems like the hard part's over. Then he saw the wind. Isn't that an interesting phrase? It says he saw the wind. You can't see wind, right? What really is happening, he's walking on water, but what he's seeing is all the dangers, and his mind starts catching up to him, and he's like, what am I doing? And he saw the wind, and he saw the waves, right? So even for people who have that courage, that faith to get out of the boat, it's still going to be a hard journey. There's still going to be wind and waves. And so we get the courage to say it out loud, we take that first step, we're out of the boat, then reality will set in. And there will be wind, and there will be waves. And you know what? That's not what you hope for. Right? When you get out of the boat and you go for it, you're just like, I hope this is just perfect and everything's amazing. You don't want to start sinking, but you know what it is? You know what that is? It's life. That's the way life is. You know what else it is? It's an adventure. I love what Helen Keller said. It's one of my favorite quotes. She said, life is a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. Isn't that good? I bet if I asked you, how many of you want an adventure? Do you want an adventure in life? I bet we'd all raise our hand. Here's the problem. Look up the word adventure in the dictionary. Do you know what the definition is? It's a journey fraught with danger. It's like, wait a second, I want an adventure, but I don't want danger. I don't want it to be that I could actually fail out in this. But listen, if there's no danger, you can't fail. But if there's no danger, you can't have an adventure. It doesn't work that way. And following Jesus is a daring adventure, or really it's nothing at all. And if being willing to fail sounds like a bad idea to you, remember what Peter got to experience that others didn't. I mean, there is this bad moment where he starts to sink, but only Peter knew the glory of walking on water. in the history of the world, God himself in the person of Jesus and Peter walked on water. He's it, right? He alone knew what it meant, what it felt like to find yourself capable of doing something that you can't do on your own and you're only doing because God is empowering you to do it. He got to experience that. And even when he started to sink, Peter alone that day found out and experienced that when you start to sink, Jesus is right there to rescue you. He got to experience that as well, right? Peter learned that when he sank, Jesus was fully adequate to save him. And listen, we all need to get out of the boat, because if we don't get out of the boat, we'll never experience all of that. So I've been thinking this week about this, getting ready to share this message with you, and I generally think of myself as someone who is very willing to fail. So like, for instance, I left a big, successful church that I started in Virginia to move to Las Vegas and start a brand new church, and everybody told me I was crazy. People don't do that. If you succeed, stay with your success. They're like, that's nuts. It's stupid. But I did it anyway, and not only in Las Vegas, but like in the middle of the city, I had all these pastors from Las Vegas out in the suburbs saying, in Las Vegas, we've all learned a lesson. You can only succeed in the suburbs. Get out there. Don't be around the middle of the city. And we said, no, we're going to go in the middle of the city. And they said, you'll fail. And we said, you know what? If we fail, at least we got out of the boat. We got out of the boat, right? And so I generally think, like, I'm not somebody who struggles with this fear thing. And this week I was thinking about it, and I realized I do. And here's how. Darren mentioned earlier, I've got two books coming out on Tuesday. Let me tell you a little bit of the history with that. So I have always loved to write. Since I was, like, little, I've loved to write. And since I was little, like, writing a book would have been a dream of mine. So about 10 years ago, totally out of the blue, a book publisher contacts me and says, will you write a book for us? And so immediately I said, no, I won't. Why? Because I thought it would fail and I didn't want to fail. Well, I just started to think about it. And I thought, who would buy and read a book that I would write? Like, just my mom. And then I thought about it, and I was like, no, it would be a Christian book, and my mother's Jewish. She wouldn't even read it. Like, nobody's going to read this book. So I said, no, thanks, I don't want to write a book, even though I did and kind of felt called to it. They contacted me and asked again, will you please write a book? We believe in you. I said, no, thanks. They asked again. No, thanks. They asked a fourth time. And realizing that they're going to keep asking and trying to get them off my back, I said, no, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll send you, like, some of my sermons, because I write them out, and you can look at it, and you can tell me if you think it's a book. And so they read them and said, yeah, we think this is a book. And I was like, okay. And so I put out this first book called I Became a Christian, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. And it actually did, like, really well. The book publisher would tell you it was a success. Like, first-time author, did really well. So I got asked to write more books. I said, okay. So I put out two more, Gorilla Lovers and Renegade. And those two books actually did very poorly, especially compared to the first book. Like, if you asked the publisher, they would tell you that those two books failed. I don't know why. The publisher says it's because I moved from Virginia and this big church to Las Vegas to start a new church, which isn't that big yet. And so they would say that was the problem. Not because of how many people in your church buy books. That's not enough people to make a big difference. It's because partly because of how many people you can get to put positive reviews on Amazon and mention the book in their Facebook pages, and it just helps get the word out in there. Like, you didn't have that in Las Vegas. And so I don't know, but I'm like, okay. And so the publisher said, hey, you failed twice in a row. No more books from you. And I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with that, because it turns out I was actually right. I don't like to fail. And so that was not enjoyable for me. I'm fine with that. But you know what's really interesting? I get letters all the time, a lot, from people who tell me, hey, I read your book and it changed my life. And the letters are very often, mostly actually, from people in prison. Like, I got this one this week. I get them, like, regularly. And what's interesting is that the book that they always say changed their life is never the book that the publishers would tell you is the successful one. It's actually the book that the publishers would say was the least successful one, the biggest failure of all. Maybe God did not mean for that book to sell tens of thousands of copies. Maybe he meant for it to help a couple dozen prisoners. Well, about 2 years ago, I get approached by this awesome group called City on a Hill. And City on a Hill is a Christian group who makes videos. They make TV shows for a Christian cable network called TBN. It's a big international network. And they make a video curriculum for churches to use as like Bible studies, small group studies, stuff like that. And so they said, hey, we've been watching your church and we love what's happening there. What's happening at Verve is crazy. I don't know if you know all the stories. We've had pimps come to faith and turn their lives around. We've had prostitutes. We've had you all. Just crazy stories. And so you know what I'm talking about. And so they said, like, there's not a lot of churches in the world where this kind of thing happens. We would love to make, like, a six video series about your church, some of these awesome stories that will be on TV on this Christian channel, TBN, and we'll give them to churches to use as a small group curriculum. And so we were like, oh, okay. So we decided to do that. Then I get a call from a publisher, and the publisher says, hey, if you're going to have this TV show, why don't we write a book that goes along with it? And I'm like, but I thought, no more books from you. And they said, yeah, but if you're going to have a TV show that comes out first, that will generate a big audience for the book, and the book will not be a failure. It'll be a success. So write a book with us. And so I was like, okay, I guess. And so I felt like, all right, I'm getting out of the boat again. I am not crazy about this feeling. I don't like that feeling of putting my foot down on water, but we'll try it. And so we filmed the TV series, and I wrote this book, God for the Rest of Us, and the book comes out this Tuesday, and the TV show hasn't started yet. It's going to come on. It's going to be out in the next couple of months, but it hasn't started yet. And so now the book publisher is calling me and saying they're frustrated, they're disappointed, and this book will be a failure. And I said, but the TV show is going to be on. It's just going to be on like a month or two later. And they said, it doesn't matter. You don't understand how books work. Like, once the book's out, it's too late. Like this was a disappointment. It's a failure. Wind and waves. And I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it will do well, and the publisher will be surprised and happy. Or maybe it won't, but there will be some prisoners who read the book and learn that God is for them. Maybe the book will walk on water and maybe you'll blub, 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 sink. I don't know. But here's what I do know. At least I got out of the boat, right? And listen, because I got out of the boat, and I know this from experience, I'm going to get to watch and see what God chooses to do with that book. And what will happen is it will grow my faith watching what God does. And it will grow my love for God. And I will worship God in a deeper way because I'll know him in a deeper way. And listen, worshiping God is the point. That's the whole point of our lives. And that's always what happens when you get out of the boat. When you get out of the boat, no matter what happens out there on the water, turns out you'll never be the same. And that's part of the reason you need to get out of the boat. God's calling you out of the boat. And I wonder, what do you need to do? What is God calling you to do? Is there a book that you're supposed to write? Is there a business that you want to start? Is there a ministry that you want to volunteer in or you know you should? And maybe there's a ministry that you feel called to lead and you just haven't. Maybe you're being called to become more generous or to restore a broken relationship or to talk about your faith to one of your relatives who's an atheist. It's scary, right? Because there's wind and waves. But you need to get out of the boat. You really do. And if and when you do, what you'll realize is that God can actually empower you to walk on water. And if you do start to sink, you'll learn that Jesus is right there to rescue you. And it's okay. And so your faith will grow, and your love for God will grow, and you'll find yourself being able to worship God in a deeper way, and worshiping God is the point. You know, that's always what happens when you get out of the boat. It always leads to worship. That's exactly what happens in this story, right? Peter gets his nerves up. He's walking on water, wind, waves. He's sinking. And then Jesus and Peter get back in the boat. And how does the story end? Verses 32 and 33. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And reading this story, I don't know about you, but the conclusion I come to is, I just don't want to spend my life in the boat, you know? I want to ask you to imagine something. okay? I want you to imagine that your life has come to an end, and you find yourself walking into this little room, and there's two chairs. You soon discover that one chair is for you, and the other chair is for God. And God has a DVD, and there's a DVD player. You'd think it would be Blu-ray, but apparently the technology has not been updated in heaven yet. But as God gets this DVD out, you notice what it says on it. It's your name. And under your name, it says, what might have been. And so he puts the DVD in, and you and God sit together. And imagine you and God watching all the things that God might have done with your life if you had just let him. Imagine seeing what God could have done with your financial resources if you had just trusted him enough to be generous in giving back to him. Imagine seeing what he might have done with your abilities if you had just dared to use them and to serve others with them. Imagine what he might have done in your relationships if you had just trusted him enough to be fully truthful and fully loving in all those relationships. Imagine what God might have done with your character if you had trusted him enough to confess your temptations and sin to a trusted friend and to pursue growth. I don't know that God's going to actually make us watch a video like that. I hope not. But I do know that I don't want my life to end with regrets. You know, I want to live the life that I was meant to live. I want to get out of the boat. I want to walk on water. How about you? Listen, Jesus is still looking for people who are willing to get out of the boat and follow him. He's still looking for people who dare to trust him enough that they refuse to allow fear to have the final word with them. Will you overcome your fear? And will you take that step of faith? What is it that God's calling you to do? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What do you wish was true about your life that currently isn't? Life is a daring adventure, or it's nothing at all. So let's go big. Really, like let's get out of the boat. Let's take some risks and follow Jesus wherever he wants to lead us. Now let's pray about that right now. Let's pray. God, here's what I know about me, and my guess is this is true probably for a lot of us. I've heard messages like this before and gotten inspired and said, yeah, that's right, and then gone home and done nothing about it. Because when I get home, I start to see the wind. And I realize, well, but there's money involved. But I don't know how I'll have enough time for that. And I know what he said, but I don't know that I could actually be a person who could do that. And I just kind of get discouraged and I stop. God, I pray that today would be different. That we would decide, you know what? I'm not going to live my life in a boat and die with regrets. I'm not going to wonder what might have been. I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to go big, and if I sink, I'm going to trust that God will rescue me. So God, would you help us to maybe even today, to say out loud to you and to someone what it is that we want to do, what we feel called to do by you. Would you help us to figure out what's a first step I can take in that direction? I need to start creating some momentum. Help me, God. What is the first step? And God, would you help us be willing to fail? We might. But we'll know that we dared to do something big for you. And we know that you'll be there to rescue us. Thanks for being an awesome God who loves us so much. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.